The scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
About a dozen years ago, a member of our congregation had a serious heart problem. There was a rhythm in his heartbeat that just wasn't quite right. And it turned out that he had an electrical problem, that the electrical messages that were going to the various muscles in his heart, that comprise the heart, weren't in sync. They weren't working well. The impulses just were off. And so his cardiologist did a process called cardiac ablation, which involves threading a catheter through a vein in your groin and sneaking it up through your veins and into your heart and then blasting it with a laser. It sounds a little Star Warsy. It's kind of wonderful. And it scarred different sections of his heart, and it totally alleviated the problem that he was having. The next Sunday, he returned to Plymouth, and I happened to be preaching on this text, and he said, I feel as if that passage from Jeremiah was written for me, as if I literally had something written on my heart, and only now do I know that the message was that God's love is with me everywhere I go. Of course, the heart is a metaphor for all kinds of things, as it was in Jeremiah's day as well. And I'm quite certain that Jeremiah was not expecting cardiac ablation by God. For us, the heart is metaphorically the center of our feeling, of our emotion. So God is saying that she will inscribe her covenant at the core of our being, in the center of our feeling and our emotion, so that we don't need to think about it so much. We just have a visceral remembrance of it, a bodily knowing of that covenant, sort of like muscle memory that you have if you play an instrument. It just happens. We also speak of heartstrings when we're describing a tug on our deepest emotions or affections. We even say, oh, that makes my heart ache, even though it probably has nothing to do with that muscle in your chest that is beating and propelling oxygen-rich blood throughout your body. So when was the last time you heard something in Scripture that pulled at your heartstrings or made your heart ache? Well, it's okay if something doesn't pop right into the top of your memory. And if you can't think of anything off the top of your head, stay tuned, because believe it or not, Holy Week begins next Sunday with Palm Sunday. From that triumphal parade on Palm Sunday, as we walk through the week and experience the night of desertion and betrayal on Maundy Thursday, to the desolation of the cross on Good Friday, and to that amazing experience of Easter morning resurrection. You know, I invite you all to come to our Maundy Thursday service. It's It includes a dramatic service of tenebrae. And it's not morbid, it's moving. And one of the important things about Maundy Thursday and Good Friday is that if we don't live through the abandonment of those days, then Easter loses its meaning. You know, another way we speak metaphorically about that thumping muscle in our chests is to know something by heart. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer by heart, or at least we've memorized it. But are there other pieces of scripture, or are there other prayers or poems that you know so deeply that they seem to be written on your heart? To have internalized those poems or prayers or scripture so deeply that when we go someplace, they come with us? One of the things that has helped me in recent weeks is having a cycle of four prayers. And for me, of course, you probably would guess that they come from the Celtic tradition, that I say every morning with a set of prayer beads that I made. I wonder, what is it that you know by heart? Is there a prayer or a passage of scripture or a poem that is important to you? So important that perhaps you wanted to commit it to memory, but not just commit it to memory, but to really internalize it and to know it by heart. You can do that even if your memory's not so great. You can repeat it to yourself during your workout or before each meal or first thing when you wake up in the morning. Once you've done that, once you've learned it by heart, it travels with you wherever you go. It's part of your spiritual toolkit. It's yours. You know, when God tells Jeremiah that he will write the law on their hearts, I imagine that it means that they will really know it by heart. Not just through memorization, but by internalizing it in the core of their being, so that it becomes something not just to know, but also to feel deeply. You know, many times when I'm celebrating communion and I'm serving the wine, I'll offer the words, the cup of the new covenant, to people as they come by. And those reiterate the words of Jesus at the Last Supper. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. That language is covenantal, and yes, it's visceral. The lifeblood is pumped by the heart, carrying oxygen-rich blood to all parts of the body. It's what keeps us alive. The prophet Jeremiah talks about this upcoming new covenant with the Hebrew people, but it doesn't get mentioned explicitly again in the Hebrew Bible. But we do find the theme getting picked up by the writer of Luke's gospel and by Paul. You no doubt recall the covenant that God made with Noah, the covenant with Abraham and Sarah, the Sinai covenant or the Ten Commandments. And now we have this promise of a new covenant. But this one is less defined. It's more ambiguous. It doesn't offer a clear mandate from God that she will no longer flood the earth and wipe out humanity again, or that he is going to make great nations come from one family. No. It's not even a set of codes etched on a stone tablet. God is saying through Jeremiah that this new covenant is going to be an internal agreement written on the hearts of God's people. This new covenant is going to be an inside job. If you examine the series of covenants from a developmental perspective, the Torah is fairly definite. It's much simpler. to have black and white covenants written out somewhere so that you don't have to discern what God may or may not be writing on our hearts. That requires greater development. It's analogous to the stages of development of children and adults. Younger children need clear, strong boundaries. Adolescents need to have some latitude. And as the parent of an adolescent, some is the operative word there. And mature adults, which I hope is most of us, we need fewer fixed rules. Look at the way different religious traditions or Christian denominations tend to operate. Some are fairly rigid and they're all about the rules. And some of them function on the basis of fear and intimidation. Others are more fluid, allowing more mature people to live out their faith as a way to respond to how God is calling to us still. Another really important idea we can derive from Jeremiah's prophecy is that God is going to continue to write new things on the hearts of people. The Ten Commandments are quite fixed. But what if God is calling us to do a new thing, as Isaiah claims? What if God wants to write different things on the hearts of different people? We hem God in and we imagine a very small deity when we think that God stopped operating in human history with Abraham and Sarah, with Moses, with Jesus even. Our God is not a small God. So what has God written on your heart? And how do you know that that's God's handwriting? Not the calligraphy of your superego or a spray-painted graffito from the culture at large in which we live. How do you know that it's God's handwriting? Different people will tell you different standards for analyzing that divine handwriting. The great French Jesuit and paleontologist Pierre Teilhard de Chardin says that joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. I don't think he's talking about superficial happiness here, but rather that deep feeling of intimate connection and love that comes with the knowledge of God and to be able to see God everywhere. For my part, I'd also ask whether there is deep congruence between what we perceive is written on our heart and also how that compares to the life and teachings of Jesus. And here I'm really talking about the flesh and blood Jesus, the pre-Easter Jesus, as opposed to the post-resurrection Christ experienced by the early church and by Paul and by all of us for the last 2,000 years. You may find that God is calling you to go places you would rather not go, pushing you beyond the limits of your comfort zone. I'm not an activist by nature, but for many years I felt obliged to speak out against gun violence, and I'll continue to do so, even though it undoubtedly offends some people and causes others to struggle with what I say. And yes, next Saturday you'll find me out on Old Town Square, and I hope you'll be there too. The way I perceive speaking for peace is as something that God has written on my heart. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily something that God has written on your heart. It isn't an action that I always want to take. It's something I feel I have to do. And it's what I think Jesus would be doing were he in our midst. And I'll keep on praying for wisdom and discernment as I try to detect the loops and the ligatures of the handwriting that I think God has inscribed in my heart. And I'll also continue to voice what I perceive as the way God is leading us as a people. You know, often when we gather around the communion table, we gather with a sense of new covenant. We gather to seek God writing something new on our hearts. So the next time we gather together at this table, and even as you go through the routine of life this week, I'd ask you to consider two questions carefully. What has God written on your heart? And how can you tell it's God's handwriting? In The Little Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry writes, "It is only with the heart that one can see rightly." And perhaps that's why God has written a message on yours. Amen.